We're doing great at the Olympics, and we're doing very, very well here at 1340 KYNS on Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
That's on field today. I am there. Hi. It's Tuesday. We have Dodgers lost yesterday. We have Dodgers Day tomorrow. The Dodgers are going to preempt me, so I won't be here tomorrow, but I'll be back on Thursday. But anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Holy dump truck. Lots of stuff. I watch the Olympics. These athletes are just amazing to me. They're just amazing to watch these people. I'm trying to come up with the right word. Athletic.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
And don't forget, you have a choice. Don't let someone put your loved one in a place you don't want them. They may try. They may say, well, here's where we're going to send them. You could say, no, thank you, please. Send them to Country Oaks Care Center. You can do that. All right. Let's do our highlight in history and our flashbacks and all that. We only have a couple again today. This is a slow time of the year because the Olympics, I guess. Anyway, but here's what's going on. A highlight in history, according to the Tribune, on July 31st, 1942, Oxfam International had its beginnings at the Oxford Committee for Famine Relief and was founded in England. On this date, 1930, the radio character The Shadow made his debut as narrator of the detective story Hour on CBS Radio. Our birthdays, singer Lobo is 69, singer Gary Lewis is 67, actor Barry Van Dyke is 61, actor Alan Autry is 60, actor Wesley Snipes is 50 and in prison. Country singer Chad Brock is 49, musician Fatboy Slim is 49, country singer musician Zach Brown is 34, who we just got to hear the other day. Happy birthday to all of them, but happy dear birthday, especially to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting?
You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. That tastes great.
It does. It tastes great, too. All right, let's see where we are next here. Let's see what's happening next. This.
Here's the news. Another action. action-filled adventure.
You know how this computer used to be able to only do so many things at a time? Now you can do less. Sorry, I find it rather interesting, to tell you the truth. In the age of Aquarius here, Bill Benek is still back there, you know, pulling water out of a well. Walmart employees in Aurora Grande were ordered evacuated after receiving what they deemed to be a credible bomb threat on Monday, shortly before midnight. Aurora Grande police then searched the store with the use of bomb-sniffing dogs and not finding explosive devices. Walmart is in other parts of the country have been the victims of similar bomb threats, with 11 evacuations occurring at Walmart in the Midwest. So a lot. We have another Walmart store we're going to get to here later on. Other things that are happening. Well, this was one of these crazy jail affairs where an inmate in the San Luis Obispo County Jail attacked a correctional officer with a razor blade yesterday following an altercation with deputies, according to the police report. And that's all we're going to get for the moment. But he was subdued. All right. We had a fire in Avila Beach, which is fully contained. It was kind of scary for a while there. CAL FIRE officials said between 5 and 6 acres of heavily brush burned in the fire. It was reported about 3:30. Tankers dropped water while hand crews battled the downhill moving fire, working to extinguish the blaze and protect the Sycamore Hot Springs Resort. Two hand crews, each consisting of 17 inmates from the California Men's Colony, and two fire captains were remaining in the area and to watch the hot spots. And so that, of course, was right above Pirates Cove. It's hotter up above the beach than it was below. And we don't know what's going on with this. You know, we probably really won't know. But anyway, here's what's going on. Well, Senior Deputy Todd Steeb, and there's a correction on this. I knew the correction first, I guess. While Senior Deputy Todd Steeb and Podolsky's wife are under investigation, Sheriff Ian Parkson placed only John Podolsky on paid administrative leave. Bo, an alleged affair between a senior San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Deputy and a lower-ranking officer's wife has prompted department officials to place one employee on paid administrative leave and three under investigation. Following allegations, the Senior Deputy told Steeb, Deputy Todd Steeb, was having an affair with lower-ranking deputy's wife. Lower-ranking deputy allegedly assaulted his wife, a sheriff's department dispatcher said. After learning of the assault, sheriff officials sent Commander Aaron Nix to arrest John Pozdowski for domestic violence at his home in Los Osos. And so the whole thing gets tawdry and crazy and nasty. And that's what's going on with that. And so that's what's going on with our news on CalCoastNews.com today. India, did you hear about the power outage in India? Half of India was without power. And so that's unbelievable. I mean, so you consider the people that have power in India, when half of it goes out, only 38 people had power. I'm lying. 1.2 billion people were without power. 1.2 billion people were without power in India. Holy dumb truck. Anyway, they got it fixed, I guess. All right, other things. Here's a Michael Phelps thing we want to do right here because it says, maybe we have it at a better place. Let me go to a better place to find this for us. All right, because then we got to do a little bit of Olympic update things because there's so many things going on at the Olympics, and it's hard to follow, and they change hourly, you know, and so, you know, there's no reliable source, so to speak, except to go to the, you know, Channel 4, Channel 411, Channel 66, Channel 43, or Channel 42, just to let you know how that's all going. And actually, interestingly enough, it didn't have it in this section here. But anyway, basically what Phelps is one went away from having the most medals ever in Olympics ever, or most Olympic medals all told ever. And so he came in second in this last race. But as far as just the number of medals altogether, he's done a remarkable thing. So they had a story that said, Michael Phelps says, well, I can go back to it, I guess. Michael Phelps says, I let my swimming do the talking. Okay, and then it had a little bit more about this man, so I'm going to see if I can get backwards here and see if I can tell you what it was I was going to tell you about. Michael Phelps. Okay. I consider myself normal, he says. That's his first mistake right there. The guy's aquatic. He's like Aquaman. He's not exactly normal. Anyway, but here's what they said today. I consider myself normal. Michael Phelps told Piers Morgan, I spent 20 years in the pool. I consider that something that's normal. He's kind of wrinklier than the rest of us. In an interview on Monday, Piers Morgan Knight, the American swimmer who has amassed 17 Olympic medals, talked about his goals of the 2012 Games, his heroes, mistakes he's made, his impending retirement, and much more. Phelps won six gold and two bronze medals at the Athens Games in 2004, eight gold medals at Beijing. Last night, Phelps won his first ever silver as part of the 400-meter relay team. In Saturday's 400-meter individual medley, Phelps came in fourth place. So he just needs just one more, as I said. He's been swimming since the age of seven. I want to see if I can find out what he says he wants to do with his life. I've made a million mistakes in my life. Okay. With retirement clear on the horizon, Phelps told Morgan that he'd most like to be remembered for doing something that nobody else has ever done before, changing the sport of swimming. That's what I hope to walk out of the sport with. One aspect of retirement that Phelps looks forward to is visiting oceans of resorts and not getting in the water. I don't want to get in the water, says Phil. I spent so much time in the water. I'm like, no, I'll sit here on the beach. I don't want to get in the water and play. And you figure, you know, because this is, I guess it takes retirement to make you realize you're not as normal as you thought, is what I'm concluding with that. Hey, what else is going on? Last I was watching, the American women were ahead of the, I forget who it was. They were playing soccer. Thailand or Korea or somebody. Anyway, but they were ahead of them. Anyway, so the American women were doing pretty good. Other things that have happened that are just amazing. Americans grabbed a big win over Brazil. That was in women's volleyball. In swimming, Franklin heads a U.S. resurgence. I'm just reading headlines. Women's gymnastics, America seek first gold medal since 1996. Now, what they're saying is, though, they got to get what's-her-name around there, Miss Weber. They got to get her on the stick there, Jordan Weber, because, you know, she wasn't going to be in the all-around thing, and so she cried and wept, and I don't blame her. And then I would have cried and wept myself. But anyway, but so she has this other contest. She has to be the other thing she has to do to help the American team win a gold medal. So they're like, okay, well, you got to kind of put that beside, you know, behind you, which is pretty tough, I think, for that poor lady. Women's basketball, Americans rolled past Angola. Our normal parade of stars did well in tennis. They're just tons and tons. Women's water polo. 14-13 victory. Oh, and here's equestrian, which I have to be honest with you, I don't. I watched about a minute of it, you know, and I've always been so stunned that the person that's on the horse gets the credit instead of the horse that's beneath it that's jumping over everything. But that's, yeah. What do I know? But anyway, Zara Phillips of Great Britain is doing really good. So I think she's she's in the 10th place. Maybe she's not doing that good. All right, so that's just some of the Olympic stuff. There's so much more. I mean, it just gets good. All right, lots of Olympic things. And so I'll give you those numbers again because I've memorized them now. NBC Channel 4. MSNBC is or close to that. You have 42 and 43 have Olympic events, usually though in the morning. Channel 66 has Olympic events. That's Bravo. And then 411 has Olympic events. And that's whatever the heck that is. NBC Sports or something. Anyway, so there's all kinds of places to watch Olympics. But know that in the morning is usually when they have stuff on every one of those channels. And you can decide if you want to watch horses, if you want to watch soccer, if you want to watch badminton, you know, beach volleyball, swimming, gymnastics, archery, shooting. Which, by the way, was interesting because American won the gold medal in skeet shooting. And in this time of gun talk, which we just had, they said, well, we have an idea. We're not going to outlaw guns. We're going to outlaw ammunition. Okay. I don't know. I have no idea about this because I don't buy ammunition a lot. I don't. If I went into Big Five Sporting Goods, if I went into Dick's Sporting Goods, if I went into Sports Authority, I'm going to list them all. If I went into these places, I went to Copeland's down in Santa Barbara. If I went into these places and said I want to buy some ammo, all right, how much ammo could each store sell me? As a guess, I'm going to say a couple hundred rounds. Well, you could amass quite a bit of ammo just on your own accord in a very short time, but whatever. And they had an interesting thing in the paper today about people's attitudes towards gun control, and it hasn't changed a whole lot since this terrible event that happened. And I will share with you what they said about that. A new national poll finds that public opinion on gun control remains unchanged since the July 20th massacre that killed a dozen people and wounded 58 others in Aurora. The nation remains evenly divided in a Pew Research Center poll, with 47% saying it's more important to control gun ownership and 46% putting a higher priority on the right to own them. You know, we've had these letters to the editor. They're kind of silly to tell you. I'm going to tell you they're silly because people under duress and people under life-threatening situations act in ways that you may or may not anticipate. And so some of the ways are quite obvious, like they mentioned in the theater in Aurora. You know, people were headed for the exit, of course. They're trying to get out, and there was a big old jam up at the exit, so that just made it a killing field for this nut. But Holmes. But at the same time, so then you have these scenarios that people bring up. Well, let's say other people had, let's say even one other, two other people had guns. And so they said, okay, because somebody today in a letter said, well, the target was obviously clear. The assailant was obviously this one person. You're assuming a lot. You're assuming a lot. If a couple people are shooting guns at each other, then you, and then you have a third person who maybe really doesn't know what the hell's going on. You don't know what kind of mayhem you're going to have. So, I mean, to presuppose that you know what the outcome would be in the event that this was the circumstance, you know, if you had one other guy with a gun, one other person with a gun that could have shot and killed Holmes and then made sure that he put the gun down and the police didn't shoot him when they came through the door, yeah, you got a possibility, I suppose. But any time you get multiples of that, you have who knows what. I mean, who really knows what? Anyway. So Holmes, of course, was in court for 142 counts that he's charged with. A lot of the families showed up. This was kind of an interesting thing here. It's interesting how people react. There's one person that's already forgiven him. And then one of those in the court was Mary Ellen Henson, a great aunt of the youngest person killed in the shooting. That was 6-year-old Veronica Moser Sullivan. Veronica's mother, Ashley Moser, was paralyzed in the shooting and miscarried her baby over the weekend. The family, Henson said, was devastated, but she decided to attend court because she wanted to see Holmes and represent her family. She said, I felt, this I quote, I felt anger and I felt resentment that anybody would take away someone's life just for going to the movie, she said. I also felt sorry for him. There was a brilliant person who could have done a lot of good. What went wrong? I'm not feeling that sorry. What has to be going through this guy's mind is, if this guy was prepared to, you know, do battle with the cops, which it appears that he was, and he didn't do that, so then you wonder what's going on in his mind anyway. You wonder what's going on in his mind to begin with, but then you wonder about, you know, does he regret the fact that he didn't shoot it out? Does he reflect? I mean, what does he reflect on, and what does he feel about? You'd hope that he would feel guilt, but, you know, I think that someone's that psychopathic, I don't think they're going to feel guilt, to tell you the truth. All right, locally in the Disney Myers case, Judge Barry LaBarber is considering multiple juries because we have five defendants. And so some are, you know, we got people pleading innocent, of course, and we have one person facing the death penalty. But here's what's interesting. You know, when you have the judiciary and how it works and the timeline that it works in, which is very slow, and then you're just a normal person running around trying to do errands and all that kind of stuff, it really makes you go, say what? Barry LaBarber, Judge LaBarber said, well, we have to get this thing to trial. We have to get this thing going. But he's given them until the end of January, the defense and the prosecution, that much more time for discovery. And does 7 months seem like a lot of time or not? Six months? Doesn't that seem like a lot of time? A lot more time. Because this was a long time ago this all happened. But anyway. That's what's going on. So he's saying, I think three juries is too many, but two juries might be enough to try these five people. The only thing, here's what's weird, though, is you're a jury and you hear the first case. Somebody's the first. And then you hear that and you find the person guilty. Now, they all acted in concert, you know. So there's a conspiracy to commit murder here, of course, also. So they all acted in concert. So if you found the first guy guilty, how could you have an open mind about the next person? And what if you have the third person? honesty. I don't. It's not. You know, we pay lip service to the idea that we can find people innocent until they're proven guilty, but I don't think that's real, especially in a case like this. But okay. Now, here we have a great story about, we have a great story right here about Stephanie Brown Tafton, who went to Poly, went to Rio Grande, whole thing, and she's doing the discus affair, and so she's really good at it. She won the gold last time. Anyway, so there's a very nice article about her and about her mom. Her mom was from England, and she just had very good memories of her mom, you know, very, very poignant memories of her mom and her. And so she's feeling, very, I guess, close to her mother, who's passed, by being in England, where her mother was from. I don't think we need legislation. I really don't. I think we need to say, I do think that in a case of if you're risking somebody's life and you're driving and texting, I think we have a law that needs a lot more teeth than it has. But I think that it's correct to do that because you're risking someone's life. If you are just walking along and you're texting and you fall into a pond or you fall off the side of the road or you fall into a railroad track or whatever you do, that's kind of, you know, that's God's way of weaning out the herd there. So it's like, you know, that's the way it is. So it's, they're talking about how many more people. They say, let me see if it says the percentage again. It's huge. It's so much more than it used to be. Let me tell you what you're talking about. I'm sorry. The stacked and dried. Okay, they're talking about reading. We are where we were with cell phone use in cars 10 years ago. We knew it was a problem, but we didn't have the data. Anyway, so they're just saying the percentage is like at least fourfold over what it used to be of people showing up in emergency rooms because they've walked into something or they've done something stupid while they were texting. But also you have this other situation where you have people that have earbuds in. They're listening to music on an iPod, and they're not hearing anything around them, you know. And so we all know, and let's be honest about this. Let's be upfront about this. We all know that people that aren't doing anything but just doing what they're supposed to be doing, like driving a car, can become very distracted by we don't know what. You know, we see them do the most amazing things, and I just saw, you know, a rear-ender the other day, as I said, as I was coming to work. I don't know what the person in the car behind the person that they hit was thinking when they decided to step on the accelerator when the other car wasn't moving, but they, you know, they were distracted somehow. And so we have enough distraction without it, and so then, you know, to say, well, the problem is the fact that, you know, we now have texting, we have cell phones, all that kind of stuff, we have earbuds, you know, iPods. You know, this is creating, this is what's creating a greater problem. I'm glad they're using that term, a greater problem, because there already is a problem with people not knowing what they're doing.
6 out of 10 people with hearing loss are men. 60% of men with hearing loss are under retirement age. Problems following a conversation or the need to keep the TV or radio turned up are symptoms of hearing loss. Most men don't include a hearing evaluation as part of their routine health care checkups. Certain medical conditions can affect men's hearing. Hearing loss is twice as common in adults with diabetes, and hearing loss may be associated with heart disease in older adults. This important message has been brought to you by Karen Scott Audiology.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Hello, Bill Senna's Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Senna's Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Senna's Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Senna's Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service. And we'll find the right policy for you.
Huh. Good, because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Senna's Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Cortland Street in the Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande, or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
It seems the love I've known, I feel so old before my time. Yesterday, when I was young, the taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue. I teased it long as if it were a foolish game, the way the evening breeze may tease a candle flame. The thousand dreams I dream, the splendid things I play, I always built to last on and shifting sail. I live by night and shun the naked light of day, and only now I see the years ran away. Yesterday, when I was young, so many happy songs were waiting to be sung. So many wild pleasures lay in store for me, and so much pain my dazzled eyes refused to see. I ran so fast the time, and youth at last ran out. I never stopped to think what life was all about, and every conversation I can now recall concerned itself with me and nothing else at all. And every crazy day brought something new to do. I used my magic age as if it were a wand, and never saw the waste and the emptiness beyond. The game of love I played with arrogance and pride, and every flame I lit too quickly, quickly died. The friends I made all seem somehow to drift away, and only I am left on stage to end the play. There are so many songs in me that won't be sung. I feel the bitter taste of tears upon my tongue. The time has come for me to pay for yesterday when I was young.
One of my favorite lyrical songs of all time, Yesterday When I Was Young by Roy Clark.
Dear Bill Benneker, talking to Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network, and this is my news and commentary right now because that's what it is. Let me address you to Spencer's Fresh Markets because it's the last day of this flyer. You don't want to miss out, especially with a price like $3.99 for boneless New York steaks in the value pack. I mean, that's just huge. Whole boneless pork loins are $1.99 a pound, also huge. They have a fresh chicken breasts, $1.29 a pound. That's with the ribs attached. And they have all the great deli stuff and you love. Like they have German potato salad for just $1.99 a pound. Jennie-O turkey breast for just $2.99 a pound. You can get cooked chicken leg quarters, two for $3. That's only a buck and a half each. And they have all the other great things like sweet cherries for $1.99. The farm fresh produce, vine-ripe Tuscan watermelons are $2.99. And that looks like a cantaloupe to me, but it says vine-ripe Tuscan watermelon. Anyway, ripe raspberries, $2.99 each, and that's probably a 16-ounce package, I'm guessing, or 8-ounce. Anyway, they got onions, you got your avocados, you got everything you need. Just summertime happiness and joy is all we're talking about. And then don't forget they have IGA things. IGA drinking water is a 24-pack for just $2.99 each, plus CRV. That's a great price, too. How about Springfield cheddar cheese, $1.99? Or anything else that you get from IGA. You can save a ton of money on IGA. Veggies are 79 cents. IGA graham crackers are $1.99. So just remember all the great things you can do at John Spencer's stores because they really are special. They grind their meat a number of times daily, their hamburger meat and stuff. It really tastes a whole lot better. And their prices are just absolutely great. The new flyers come out today in your mail. Compare the prices, and you'll find out that John Spencer's is the place that you should be doing your shopping. in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, and Santa Maria. All right. Whoa. News. Things are going. Things that are going on in our world. Front page story in the Tribune today about Brown surprises with attitude on environment. So basically what this is coming down here, we have the California Environmental Quality Act. And so the environmentalists are a little bit sad because, well, and environmentalists are sad for two reasons. First, we'll discuss Jerry Brown, Governor Jerry Brown, and what's going on. And so he's kind of like going around the loop there. He's going around the corner and taking the backdoor approach to, well, that we may have this law, but I want this to be taken care of, like high speed rail. I want the football stadium in L.A. to be built without all this environmental nonsense. So I use that term. And I'm not going to apologize for using the term, because here's when it becomes nonsense. There are times, you know, in the environmental movement, I think, is hopefully going to save us all, to tell you the truth from ourselves. But it becomes like the old pendulum thing, where you can, if every single project anywhere, no matter if it's in the middle of downtown L.A., if every single project faces an environmental challenge that is extreme and costs a great deal of money and costs all kinds of grief, and a lot of times it's addressed, but then they say, okay, we're going to do the project anyway, or we find out there are no mitigating circumstances really. Then it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths sometimes if there's too much of it. And I think that's sort of what's happened with our lives now. You know, if you give the frog 500 square miles, then you say, well, we got to give the frog 1,000 square miles. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, to what you have to depend on other people telling you that this is absolutely necessary for the survival of this frog and then buy it. And I think a lot of people don't. They just, there becomes a time when there might be too much of it. And I think that that's basically what Jerry Brown's saying is I'm there's projects that have to go through, that have to be built. Now, is he wrong in some cases? Probably. I mean, probably. I'm almost sure he is, you know. But, you know, when we're looking at what we're doing to ourselves. But he's not the only one. Barack Obama's, the president, is delaying regulations and stuff like that, especially environmental stuff, because he wants to make sure, of course, with an election coming up, that he's appealing to the general public, not to special interests, be they environmentalists or otherwise. And so, you know, what he does is just say, okay, well, we'll decide that in January. So that's what's going on with that. Mitt Romney's overseas trip was not so smooth, as you know. I'm glad he didn't go to Poland and say, I love you, Polacks, I feel like one of you. Or something like that. I mean, I was really worried about that, so he didn't do that, luckily. But anyway, that's as much as I'm going to do about presidential news right now. That's it for me. That's all I'm doing. Well, here's a fascinating story right here, in my opinion.
President Obama's story is well known. His father from Kenya, his mother from the United States. But Ancestry.com says it has mapped out the Obama family tree going back 11 generations with stunning conclusion. Anastasia Harmon is the company's lead family historian.
So our conclusion is that President Obama, the first African-American president, is the 11th great-grandson of the first documented enslaved African in what would become the United States.
The link is made not from his father's side, but from his mother, Ann Dunham's lineage. She was connected back to a man named John Punch. Records show Punch, who lived in Virginia, had children with a white woman. Those children later became known as the Bunch family. The findings of the two-year study are now posted on the company's website. So how did the research team figure this out?
As we're going, you know, from President Obama to his mom and grandmother and great-grandmother, you're looking for, like, birth and marriage and death records, all those kind of records. As we get farther back in time, though, they weren't kept, or they've been destroyed over time. The Civil War, a lot of records are destroyed, fires, floods, and things like that. So we start looking at what we call surviving records, church records, land records. And so when we get really far back into, like, here, John Bunch III, who's born in 1680, he, from here on out, we're looking at land records.
University of Maryland history professor Ira Berlin says all of this is perfectly plausible because there was a time when white indentured servants and black slaves freely intermingled.
They work together, they sleep together, they play together, eventually they have children together. The status of those children follow the status of their mother. That is, if your mother is white, then you will be free.
Lineage has become a fascinating side topic of this political season, from Mitt Romney's Mormon roots to the president's ancestry. But what matters, says CNN contributor Roland Martin, is not so much the past, but the future.
This is not going to mean anything when it comes to voters. This is simply a matter of what his personal history is. Keep in mind, you can be Clarence Thomas, and you can have a very clear African-American background going back generations, but do the policies that you articulate today, do they resonate with black voters?
I'd say that has to be somewhat important, especially if you're a black voter. I don't know. So here, Ancestry.com. So here's what they decided. They decided they traced Barack Obama himself, his own self, the President of the United States, back to the very first registered known slave that was in the New World, even before it was a state, and which could be just a fascinating story altogether, or it could possibly be a way to try to sell Ancestry.com. It's kind of like, you know, if you have a problem lasting more than 3 hours, consult your physician. That's part of the advertising. That's not a real health warning. Give me a break. All right. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, that's a problem right there. Okay. Yeah.
The things in the news today. People. Things. They had a really nifty satellite photo here. Cal Fire took a picture of, I guess, from a plane. Maybe not satellite. Cal Fire took a picture of that fire in Avila and from the air. And they had a picture of it here in the Tribune today, which is kind of fascinating. And it's high enough up so you can't really see the people on Pirate's Cove. They made sure. All right, so that was the thing right there. Put Pitbull given a bear spray in Alaska. When I first read this, it made no sense, of course, when you read that headline. Pitbull given bear spray in Alaska. Pitbull's a rapper guy whose real name is Who Cares. But anyway, so he did a promotion with Walmart where he said whoever has the most thumbs up, is that what they call it on Facebook? Most likes on Facebook. The Walmart that has the most likes, he would visit himself. And I don't know if they really, anybody cares about him visiting, but it turned out to be the one in Alaska. You know, so that's where he went, was to Alaska. And so they gave him a little care package that included bear repellent, which is a bazooka. I guess it's some kind of stuff. I don't know. And then they wear bells. People wear bells in Alaska to try to let the bear know you're coming so the bear can leave. Unless the bear is really hungry and he's really glad to hear the bells. It's kind of like the ice cream truck, you know what I mean? Okay, here comes the meal. You got to look at it both ways. You really do. Another shark attack? I think the sharks are finding, you know, this shark fin soup and everything that we've outlawed, but the countries still do it all the time. They take the. I think the sharks are starting to get back. I think they're torqued. This is what I'm thinking. I know it sounds like a movie. I think there was a movie like that. It sounds like a movie, but I begin to wonder about the whole thing with the sharks. Because it sounds like they're really getting torqued off. That's all I can tell you. It sounds like they're getting back. I don't know how you can deny it right there. I don't think you can. Thank you. They had a shooting in Paso that may have gang ties, as many shootings in Paso do. And so the interesting thing is, and I've said, I really insulted a policeman from Santa Maria once when I said, you know, the good news is the gangbangers shoot each other. And he thought, well, that was a terrible thing to say. But actually, I'm not sorry I said it the first time, and I'm not sorry I just said it again. Leave the innocent people out of it. Do your game. All right, we have another story that I think is, from the headline of it, it's kind of fascinating. And I'm going to share it with you next. There may be a commercial first, but we'll find out, because this is a weird story.
An Illinois woman.
Well, none of the above. It's going to be another.
Woman set out to row 1,500 miles. Jen Gibbons, not an Olympian. She is, however, every bit of a world-class fighter, as you're soon going to understand when we tell you her story here. So since mid-June, Gibbons had been on a mission to row the perimeter of Lake Michigan to raise $150,000 for her charity, Recovery on the Water. Row is the acronym. Now, the group supports breast cancer survivors by coaching them to row together, but Gibbons' effort was cut short in a brutal way. CNN has this policy of not revealing the names of sexual assault victims, yet you wanted to talk to us. Why go public with this?
Hi, so I think it's important that my story is told, not only so that we can find this person, but also because, you know, so much of my life has been public over the last year and a half, and there's a lot of people that look to what I do, look to what I say, and what I represent, and I feel I have a voice in a world of sexual assault victims.
Jen, I want to get.
And I think it's important that I'm heard.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What I've already done, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to get to what you do, but I just, as part of your story, can you just take me back to that Sunday, wee hours in the morning, you're asleep on the boat. What happened?
Well, I can give you as many details pretty much as what we put out there, just given to protect me in the ongoing investigation. I was sexually assaulted on Sunday morning in the wee hours, and was able to fight away and get away. It was something that was really disturbing to happen inside of my boat, because my boat name is Liv, which is Norwegian for life and protector. And this boat is meant to protect me, and it protects me in 6-foot waves. It protects me in all kinds of conditions, and I always feel safe in this boat. So this is just something that I didn't anticipate.
And why in the world, after this happened to you on this, you know, this thing that's supposed to be so precious and, you know, keep you safe, and this sexual assault happens, didn't you just want to quit?
You know, to be honest, that's not the first thing that came across my mind. It never really ran across my mind. You know, I've been planning for this trip for so long. You know, I spent the last 18 months of my life dedicated to this cause and this particular adventure and journey. And while this is nothing I could have planned for, I really did train well in terms of physically, in terms of mentally, and I've just got my eyes on the prize, and I can't let go of that.
Wow. What a strange tale that is. So they have an artist sketch of the guy and all that, and they're going to see if they can track him down. But anyway, that's a just really strange story. All right, other things that I should tell you about today. You know, we have this thing, buy local, which we could have more of, by the way. You know, you could have schools and all kinds of people buy local stuff and get more involved in that program. But here's the thing. A reporter just planned for state through K-12 schools. The study recommends an inventory of public school facilities to better prioritize their funding. So here's, when they're talking about facilities, they're talking about all kinds of facilities. They're talking about cafeterias. They're talking about classrooms. They're talking about the conditions of these places. But they basically say is in California, this shouldn't come as a surprise. In California, we don't really know. We don't really have any inventory of where the priorities should be. You're not surprised, are you? Anyway, so that's what they're saying, though, is what we should now do is try to have some idea of what the priorities should be in the state and what schools need to be paid attention to and what schools are okay and all that. You would sort of have thought we were doing that along the way. But apparently those of us that are constituents, is that what I'm going to call it? We're those of us that are just people, citizens. When we have this, and I'm learning how wrong we are. There's another example of it in the news today, too. We assume that everybody is doing the job and watching out for what they're supposed to be watching out for and taking into account the things that need to be taken into account, and yet then we realize that we're completely wrong about that. That's not the way it works. It just doesn't work that way. Let me tell you this story. I didn't want to share this story with you, but I'm going to. Now, if you pay California state taxes, now this story should make you want to hurl, because here's what it says right here. I'm going to read this one to you. The lawmakers, two lawmakers say the state needs to change how mental health funding from a 2004 ballot initiative is spent to ensure the money serves those who need it most. An Associated Press report of the weekend found that tens of millions of dollars raised under Prop 63 have gone to programs designed to help those who have not been diagnosed with any mental illness. The programs include, are you ready, yoga, art, drama, horseback riding, and gardening. And these are for people that have no mental health problems. How they get this money, who do, because somebody screwed up again. So now they're calling for an oversight and an audit. And how does it get screwed up to begin with? How is it possible that everything that goes through a bureaucracy in this the California bureaucracy, how is that everything seems to get screwed up? Everything. I mean, it's like almost everything is screwed up. We got money we didn't know we had with the parks. Then they find more money. We have this kind of stuff. I don't want to pay for somebody to take gardening that doesn't need it. Gardening. Horseback riding, at least you could go maybe get good enough to, you know, be in the Olympics or something, or maybe win the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, I'm not happy about it, but at least there's a possibility with that. Yeah, you don't see gardening in the Olympics, do you? Okay, who can grow the biggest carrot in 3 days? Yeah, they don't have that. So it's, that was one of those things I want to tell you about that were was one of those things that probably upset you. A 12-year-old New Jersey girl, this story was in the news yesterday, steered a car to safety when her grandpa died at the wheel with his foot on the accelerator. So she got down underneath the wheel. She pushed the brake with two hands, you know. Grandpa had kind of slumped over to his left, and she pushed that, and then she tried to look up and steer, and she was trying to do the best. Anyway, she ended up crashing, but she didn't get hurt. But Grandpa, who was only 63 years old, I say that being 63 years old, he passed away from the heart attack. But she saved herself in the car. Well, she saved herself anyway. Okay. The original report, by the way, of the power outage in India was 370 million people, not 1.2 billion. Holy cow. Now, this is a sad thing. We have a botanical garden, as you know. And in Palm Springs, they have one. But guess what happened? Crooks stole 14 tortoises and a turtle. What do you do with them? Do you make soup out of them? What do you do with it? Anyway, they just took them. And they say there had to be more than one thief because of the tortoise's size. So there's something really, you know, they're big, huge things. And the turtle is the appetizer, I suppose. I'm just guessing, though. I'm not sure. Now, one of the things that you don't want to hear is something in the part of the world that was already bad getting worse. Now, I'm not talking about Syria. That's, you know, you're used to every day being worse or crazier or whatever the case may be. But here you have militant group poses a risk of rupture for Pakistan and U.S. Officials say it's a common view of the White House that U.S. is one major attack away from unilateral action against the nation. And so what they're talking about is what's called the Haqqani Network, a Taliban affiliate whose leaders shelter in Pakistan. And so since 2008, Haqqani suicide attackers have struck the Indian embassy, five-star hotels and restaurants, and last September, the headquarters of the NATO-led International Security Assistance Force and the American embassy. So they're getting kind of fed up with the fact that this faction resides in Pakistan. And you know, Pakistan, it's like Osama bin Laden. It's like, really, he was here? Oh, really? They were here too? It's kind of like the Pakistanis are sort of not paying attention to what's going on. Or they're paying attention, they don't care. Or they care a lot, and they're actually behind a lot of this. But one way or another, the U.S. is kind of getting torqued off. So I don't know what unilateral action means, exactly what extent that would be, but... Wow. On and on it goes. On and on. Post office nears huge default. They're supposed to come up with, by Wednesday, tomorrow, $5.5 billion and $5.6 billion due in September. This is for required payments for future postal retirees' health benefits. They don't have the money. So here's what's going to be interesting to find out. And be prepared for it. Okay, be prepared for it. Savings and loans years ago, we bailed them out. The banks, we bailed them out. Huge real estate interest, we bailed them out. And now we have government employees who don't have the money for the retirement. They just don't have it. So the question is going to become then, who's going to pay for it? Are they going to say the retirees, well, guess what, we don't have the money? I don't think so. Are they going to go to the taxpayer and say, we have to tell you that we got to break the news to you. Yeah, we got, you're going to have to pay more taxes because we don't have enough. Why, and I think a lot of us have wondered forever why the post office isn't addressed in a better way, why they don't address the problems of the post office the better a better way, why they don't privatize the post office, why they don't do something, for gosh sakes, get off their duffs and do something and say, okay. You know, part of the problem is, and I understand this, and believe me, I sympathize with it, part of the problem is what they're trying not to do is, and this is partly political, is in the face of the unemployment situation we now have, is to create more unemployment, to create this problem of more unemployment and by laying off people at the post office. I understand why that looks bad and is bad and why they don't want to do it, but at some point, somewhere, somehow, when you have a system that has finally broken, and it's not broken because of itself. It didn't break on its own accord. It broke because of technology. But somehow you have to allow for the fact that technology is going to do that. You know, you have to. It's like we're kind of dumb. I wonder if you weren't to work for the post office tomorrow, if they would say you have the same benefits as the person they hired 20 years ago, in essence. I have no idea, but I wonder. And I think it's very possible that they would say, oh, yeah, here's your benefits. Because nobody's ever bothered to change it. Nobody's ever bothered to say, you know what? People are using email all the time now. People are using social networking. People are not using the post office hardly anymore. To an extent that they used to, third-class mail, you know, all the junk we get, they got a lot, tons of that. But as far as first-class mail, there's so little of it. And so it's technology. It's what's going on. And the people that are succeeding these days, as you may be well aware, are the people that have embraced the technology and prepared for it. And the people who are struggling, which is like our postal service, they weren't prepared for it. And therefore, when they struggle, we struggle because I know it's going to end up in our lap. Can you imagine it's not? I mean, can you ever imagine it's not going to end up in our lap? I cannot. We mentioned Syria. Aleppo fight intensifies. They've had, 200,000 people have fled the area. This is actually 200,000 people have fled the whole area. But 12,000 Syrians fled their country's civil war when they first started. This was a camp in Turkey. Anyway, but 200,000 people. As you can imagine, you know, there's only so much of that you want to put up with, you know, that kind of stuff. So you're being shot and killed and stuff, that doesn't work. Okay. And this is not a surprise. They had quite an interesting article here today about companies mind users' social behavior. You know how they used to have focus groups? They'd bring people in and you'd try a new thing and all that. Well, now what they're doing is they're using social, they're kind of tracking people's Facebook. You know, people, you can go, anybody on Facebook and go look at somebody else's Facebook thing. So what they're doing is they're trying to find out what people seem to be talking about, what they like, what they don't like. And then what they do is they put it out there and said, okay, this is like not a contest, but we want you to know why you would, what you would do to make a better beer, make a better bean dip, make a better whatever it is. And so they put it out there, and then people, you know, come up with these ideas. And they say, for instance, here's one right here. Samuel Adams asked users to vote on yeast, hops, color, and other qualities to create a crowdsourced beer. Now, I wouldn't have the faintest idea to say put more hops in it or put more yeast or anything else. I wouldn't have the faintest notion of how to do that. But anyway, an American red ale called B. Austin Ale that got rave reviews. So Frito-Lay had people that wanted churro flavors and people that wanted beer-battered onion flavors. So they got all this stuff, and they're saying, okay, Walmart wanted to know whether to stock lollipop-shaped cake makers in its stores. So it studied Twitter chatter. Estee Lauder, the perfume. Oh, no, Estee Lauder did lipstick colors that have been discontinued. So, you know, social media, it's the thing. And I had a younger person today rail me about it, so...
Still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. Galveston, oh Galveston.
splashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston. I still see her standing by the water, standing there looking out to sea. And is she waiting there for me on the beach where we used to run? Galveston, oh Galveston, I am so afraid of dying. Before I dry the tears she's crying, before I watch your seabirds flying in the sun at Galveston, at Galveston.
Hello, Central Coast. Charter Telephone is now available in your neighborhood. And now's the time to enjoy the savings for yourself.
Hello, simplicity.
There's no new equipment to buy. You use the same phone and phone jacks. And, of course, you keep the same home phone number.
Hello, savings.
Charter Telephone includes unlimited nationwide calling, so it's just as easy to call across town as it is across the country.
Hello, value.
Our plans come with 10 of the most popular features, including caller ID and call waiting. It's like your current phone service in every way, only better. And when you bundle Charter Telephone with Charter Digital Cable and high-speed internet, the savings only get better with one low monthly bill. So what are you waiting for? Answer the call. Charter Telephone is here. Find out more at charter.com or call 1-866-608-4134. Service is not available in all areas. Unlimited long-distance calling includes U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 12/31/07. Call 1-866-608-4134 for details.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shoe Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Southside Promenade. Sounds like, you know, it goes miles, that thing. But it's a southern end there next to the Delidio property right there, Mike's Shoes. You're going to get the great shoes. You're going to find the great styles. And when you go for the sale racks, let me tell you what, they got half off of his great shoes. They're just absolutely fabulous. If you're a woman, well, like if you go in there, you'll buy something. If you're a man and you go with a woman, yeah, she's gonna buy something. That's all I'm saying. If you're a man, you're gonna like the shoes too, because I wear my, as a matter of fact, I'm wearing them now, Clark shoes, super duper, and they're at Mike's. All right, let's talk about other things going on off air. During the last newscast, I got a call from the post office, a person that works at the post office who I've known for a long time, and they said, Bill. Don't watch out. You're gonna make it, everybody not like us or something. No, be careful what you say. Now, I've never disparaged the post office. I have not disparaged the post office ever for the service that they do provide, because I find it absolutely myself. I find it amazing that I can put a letter in my mailbox out front, and then my brother gets it across the country, a couple of days later. I think that's pretty amazing. I still think that's amazing. This person agreed that, with the advent of social media and electronic transfer and emails and all that stuff, the post office is looking at a very bleak future in its own way. But here's the thing she wanted me to know. While I mentioned those numbers of how much money, let me tell you what it was, of how much money was owed to the post office for future retirement, it was $5.5 billion and $5.6 billion, so, $11 billion in the next few months. But here's the thing that's flippy, which I didn't know, and I'm glad I was told. Do you know who that's for? $11 billion has to go into retirement fund. And you know who it's for? Because the Congress passed this law in 2006. It's for postal workers 75 years from now. Yes, the world's gone insane, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to patch it. I don't know how to fix it. I'm a patch it. I don't know how to go to Washington. Patch it. Here's a letter to the editor today, which is okay. I mean, everybody supports different people, and this was a Goyo Maldonado letter. You know, said, okay, well, we've had Lois Capps there, now put Abel Maldonado, because maybe he's a good guy. Maybe he'll get something done. Maybe he won't have the gridlock. Maybe. Yeah, I understand. You know, maybe. But it seems to me, as of recent times, that new people don't seem to change anything, you know. The new people that are worth their salt get out, which is really pathetically sad, but that's what I see. I can't fix it on that. I've been thinking about it. But here's another program here. We talked about the facilities in California and trying to figure out what we have, what's good, what's bad, and all that, which we've never bothered to prioritize for some reason. I think we always just assume, well, if it's in a poorer area, it must be poor stuff, and that's life. But that's not necessarily so. But anyway, a new system of charter schools strives to be exampled by bringing low academic performance. This is called the rocket ship. All right, this is called rocket ship discovery prep. One of five charter elementary schools founded by this guy named John Danner, who's a Silicon Valley type. Apparently, it's worked really well. I mean, these young people are really doing very well with this guy's program. So we'll see. It could be one of these things that's a flash in the pan. It could be one of these things, you know, dies in the vine. It could be one of these things that maybe people will embrace and say, okay, somebody seems to have found an answer to how to make this thing work. We can hope. I would hope so. And for-profit colleges are failing their students and saddling taxpayers with an enormous bill, a two-year investigated by the Senate Education Committee, Democratic staff concluded. The harsh report released Monday by the committee's chairman, Senator Tom Harkin, found federal taxpayers spent $32 billion on for-profit colleges in 2009. More than half of the students who enrolled in them dropped out without a degree after about 4 months. In 2008 and 2009. In this report, you will find overwhelming documentation of exorbitant tuition, aggressive recruiting practices, abysmal student outcomes, taxpayer dollars spent on marketing and pocketed as profit, and regulatory evasion and manipulation. Harkin said these practices are not the exception. They are the norm. Now, it took 2 years to figure that out. I thought the judiciary sort of went slow sometimes, you know, here in San Luis Obispo, but this took 2 years to find out. And how many ads do you see on TV now for for-profit colleges? I mean, there's new ones coming on board all the time, you know. So sign up with us, and we'll make sure everything's good for you. It's not, apparently. It's not so good at all. But they'd have you believe otherwise. And who wouldn't? All right, then we had an editorial today in today's Tribune about transparency needed for cap and trade. So this is this kind of crazy business that has to do with power, electrical power, and other power in the state. And so they have the whole thing is companies that reduce emissions below their allotment, which is the cap, could sell them on the open market, the trade. A robust regional market gives businesses more options than a California loan market. So far, the only two Canadian provinces as partners, but over time, they hope to draw numerous neighboring states. That's what we hope to do with this cap and trade thing. There's a lot of criticism for it. There's a lot of criticism against it. There's a lot of people for it. And I'm not an economist. I don't know how it's going to go. It would seem to me that we need a little more support than two Canadian provinces right now to really make it understandable and make it worthwhile. Because what we're trying to do is avoid the terrible thing that happened to us back in 2000, 2001. Here it was. This was Kevin said, give Abel a try. Okay. Now, Betty had an interesting letter. I understand how she feels, but I'll tell you what I think when I'm after I tell you about it. She says, I'm pretty sure if this gets printed, I will hear about it. I get a bit curious and furious every time I see any commercials asking for donations for a shelter being built in Santa Maria for animals. Make no mistake, I like animals. I wouldn't hurt them. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but why are they begging for $1 million to complete this facility to house unwanted animals when there are all these men, women, and children that are homeless and in need of a warm bed, and it is even okay for them to sleep in their cars in the street? I'm at a loss to understand this thinking. So what she's basically saying is, you know, I mean, why are we trying to raise millions of dollars for an animal shelter when we can't come up with millions of dollars for the people? Number one, Betty, I think that one of the things you have to realize, Betty, is that, and I've always thought this, there are a lot of people that would put animals above homeless people anyway. They just would. Just know that. They would, if they had a choice, to donate money and say, here, you can help this homeless person, you can help this animal. They wouldn't help the animal anyway. And then the other thing is, now, hopefully people have enough money. So she's talking about, what is it, $19 a month? So hopefully there's enough money out there, the people that can donate $19 a month. Maybe they can donate $38 a month. 19 will go to the animals, 19 will go to the people. Does a homeless shelter take donations? You know, cash donations? I know, you know, I remember back when Maxine Lewis was alive and they first started that shelter over there on Orchid. And, you know, they had all kinds of different fundraisers. I emceed a talent show one time, which it was big on show and little on talent, but it went okay. And we raised a buck or two. But, you know, it used to just be fundraisers and things that, and then the hope that at some point county money would come in. Oh, and city money to try to help support the shelter, which it now does. But, you know, there was a time, it was a while back, but there was a time that the homeless in San Luis Obispo had, you know how they have nothing now, but they have a place they can, if you can get in, if there's enough room, you can get in and sleep if you want to. They have a place you can go get a meal and get a shower, wash your clothes if you want to. They have that now. I remember back when we were raising money for the Maxine Lewis shelter, there was no shelter at the time, and the people had nothing. The people that lived in the creek survived on their own, and that's how it was. And you know what? Even back then, we're talking about families, kids, moms, dads, kids. It's like, all right. Well, here was Andrew wrote this letter that I kind of was referring to. Lives saved by guns. I usually don't write a follow-up letter, but I've been reading rebuttals by some very unenlightened folks. The fact is that in 37 states with concealed carry laws, violent crime has decreased. So he gets into this, you know, this situation that was in Aurora. This would have saved the day and all that. And yep, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one. Me too. That's why I'm doing my thing today. All right. Other things in business news today. Struggling cities look to tax increases. You think? California's, we got a tough time here because, you know, California wants to have a state sales tax increase. And then you have local communities that are saying, you know, we could use some more dough. And things are just a little bit bleak. No question about it. Here a guy wrote to Stephen Alexander, does the tech Q&A about cell phone jammers. Can you get one of these? How do they work? Well, they're legal in the United States. I'm not saying people don't buy. You can buy them on the Internet, by the way. I think if they'll deliver it. You can buy them from China and stuff if they'll deliver it to a U.S. address. I'm not sure. But I know you can spend your – let's put it this way. You may not get it, but you can spend your money on one on the Internet. And haven't we all, come on, let's be honest, haven't we all had somebody talking far too loud on a phone in an appropriate place? And you kind of go on, is there a brain in there that works? Does a person have any sense at all? And then you have to conclude, no. So if they weren't on a cell phone, who knows what else they'd be doing? You know, juggling or, you know, pogo sticking or doing something else that just annoy you. So that's better if they're on the phone, I guess. And has the iPhone lost its spark is a big question here. Samsung Electronics Galaxy 3S, you know, is a little bit bigger than the iPhone. People are really kind of attracted to it. It's razor thin. It's a whole thing. But here's the interesting story they had, of course, is the competition that doesn't need, let me put it to you this way. Most other phone makers would kill for the numbers that Apple has. according to Stephen Baker, an analyst. But since the iPhone's introduction in 2007, the average annual growth has been 112%. 112%, but now it's tapered off. They said 28%, 26 million phones, was just 28% more than it did last year. Now, this is really interesting because, you know, Samsung and Apple are having a battle over technical issues and all that kind of stuff. But Samsung and Apple have a complicated relationship. They're rivals in the smartphone and tablet computer markets and are set to square off over the high-profile trial. But here's the thing. Samsung is one of Apple's largest suppliers of chips and displays, and Apple is one of Samsung's largest clients. Together, they make half of the world's smartphones, and since competitors are losing money or breaking even, they account for all the profit that is in the industry. So here they're, you know, going after each other, but yet they really need each other, and it's going to... Maybe it'll just end up being a push. I'm not sure. It'll just be a push. Apple says Mac users downloaded 3 million copies of Mountain Lion, its latest operating system, in the first 4 days it was available. So apparently it's good news right there. Apple charges $20 for the software. That pays for downloads for all of a buyer's personal computers. I haven't got to the app thing yet. I haven't apped. I'm apt to, though. Just over time, you know, it's going to happen. Chrysler's almost total reliance on North America used to be a huge weakness, one that sent the company into bankruptcy protection. Now it's a major strength. The region is generating profits for the company, while losses in Europe and slowing sales in South America and China are drains on other car makers. Chrysler sells almost 90% of its cars and trucks to the U.S. and Canada. They made a $436 million profit in the second quarter. Very interesting. Well, when you have people like in India, you got the Tata Motor Works, they can make a car for $1,200. Who's going to go out and buy a Chrysler 300 in India? Let me stop and think about it. So the people are saying, well, we're going to put our money in, you know, India is one of the fastest growing areas. China, of course. We're going to put our dough and our cars and all that in there. There's the disadvantage that one has when one says, that's what I'm going to do, I suppose. And... this is kind of interesting. This has to do with the Olympics, and it has to do with all the high-techy stuff that is being used in the Olympics. And so we'll get to it as soon as it gets to itself.
Tyler McGill has an excellent chance of beating...
I thought we had a free run.
Michael Phelps.
Oh, go on. You can do it. Go
on. 100-meter butterfly. But his underwater kick has to improve for this to happen.
This is me here, and as you can see, I'm in the air, and Michael, along with everybody else, is still on the block. And so my reaction is ahead of everybody else's at this point, and I have a lead. You'll notice that everyone has caught up by the time we reach the 15-meter mark.
This the breakout portion of this race, as compared to Michael, who is coming out at a little bit faster time. Move over here to the 15-meter mark, to the 35-meter mark. He's at 11.3, 11.2. Michael's at 10.9. So 3/10 of a difference doesn't sound like a lot, but in swimming it's a lot of time.
BMW has taken video analysis to the next level, adopting its expertise in designing high-performance cars and applying it to swimming.
Kicking underwater has become one of the most important parts of swimming. It's faster than on top of the water, but you really don't know why they go so fast or why you go faster than them. So this technology, adding numbers, adding equations to this, will help us evolve as swimmers.
Ricky Behrens is experimenting with this new technology by marking 6 points where the body bends on the swimmer: the wrist, shoulder, hip, knee, ankle, and toe. The software connects the dots.
We have the kick frequency, we have the kick depth, we have the kick rate. This is really going to help USA Swimming to help determine what makes a great dolphin kick.
What swimmers wear affects their aerodynamics, and this year it's evolved even more.
The more fabric you can put on the human body, the faster it's going to be. The whole idea from a fluid dynamics perspective is to keep the body as uniform as possible, kind of like a torpedo.
Incidentally, the same goes for track and field athletes.
We add a texture to the suit to make it faster. So if you look really close, there's dimensions to it, texture to it, So it turns out smooth does not equal fast. It shaves off 0.023 seconds. This is not just the difference between first and second place. This is the difference of being on the podium or not. This is the sprint shoe for the 100 meter. Extremely lightweight, extremely supportive, independent loose cables that gives you a perfect fit.
For marathoners, shoes have to be even lighter.
It's only 160 gram light. You can save yourself 19%, which is how much lighter the shoe is compared to our favorite marathon shoe. So at the end of the race, you would have saved yourself the weight of a car.
For basketball players, the weight of their shorts can impact their game. And their shoes can track their performance. Just some of the ways technology is shaping the London Olympics.
33, that's awesome.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN, reporting.
Did you know Red Dirt Coffee House now delivers? Call in your order ahead of time and they will have your order ready for you, or you can have it delivered to your home or office. Try one of their 100% all fruit smoothies with no sugar added, or a blended coconut mocha, or iced vanilla bean. Red Dirt Coffee also serves delicious food items all day long. For breakfast, try their breakfast burrito with Hawaiian sausage, or a hula wrap, or steel cut oatmeal steaming hot and ready to go. Lunchtime offers scrumptious sandwiches like the Island Turkey Sandwich with melted provolone cheese, or the Bird of Paradise with chicken salad made with pecans, cranberries, and Red Dirt's own yogurt poppy seed dressing on a flaky croissant. Red Dirt Coffee has homemade soups daily too. Red Dirt Coffee also has a large selection of gluten-free pastries and menu items. Red Dirt Coffee is sure to leave you happy with the aloha spirit. Open 7 days a week and until 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Red Dirt Coffee at 1452 East Grand Avenue in Arroyo Grande in the Applebee Shopping Center. Red Dirt Coffee, now delivered.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
For 125 years, Mercedes-Benz has produced the world's most advanced automobiles, and Star Automotive is dedicated to maintaining those vehicles for many years to come. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. I wish to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles the last 5 years. The Star Automotive Independent Mercedes-Benz Service Center can be found in SLO at the corner of Broad and Francis, on the web at starautomotive.com, or by calling 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
Back up on an old dirt road, next to a swamp full of toads, was a slanted wood shack with three little kids and a mama. Papa died in 63. Left little Jimmy and me to plant those taters and pull up another tomorrow. Rocky Mountain music fills my memory. Rocky Mountain music, Papa, can I hear you? Was never quite right. He used to sit on the floor in the sunlight, play with the dust that danced on the beams in the window. Sister had to cook and clean, 'cause mama, she got sick and lean. Sometimes I think she just died away, missing Papa. Rocky Mountain music fills my memory. Rocky Mountain music, Mama, can I hear you singing to me?
today. Little brother, he was taken away. Sister, she married a soldier and lives in Toledo. And me, I'm in a Nashville bar. And I've never been so far from that old gravel road and the rivers that run through my memory. Rocky Mountain music fills my memory. Rocky Mountain music, brother, can I hear you calling me? Rocky Mountain music fills my memory. Rocky Mountain music, Papa, can I hear you playing for me?
Eddie Rabbit, Rocky Mountain Music here with Bill Benica. Thanks for joining me on 1340 KYNS, your news station today. This reminder, Dodgers tomorrow, so I shan't be here, but I'll be back on Thursday. Well, you couldn't have picked a worse time to come out with a book. You couldn't have done it worse. Simon Schuster is backpedaling quickly in the final weeks before the publication of Paterno, which has emerged as perhaps one of the most unfortunately timed books of 2012. It's, of course, all about the coach. And originally it had a different name. It had The Grand Experiment, The Life and the Meaning of Joe Paterno, to the more neutral Paterno. Anyhow, they're going to have to release it. They've got to see if they can make some money on it. But it's really a bad time. You may have seen where they've put the I don't know where they put the statue in the basement somewhere, stored it away, and they put trees in its place at Penn State. But anyway, it has to be. Well, you know what else? The movie, well, this is the second bad timing thing this year. Was they came out with what they call it, The Watch, I think is what it was, the play of the movies, is still playing. And originally it was going to be called Neighborhood Watch, but then it's coming out right after this whole thing with Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. So, you know, they said, well, we got to call it something else. Hey, sometimes you can't do anything about the timing that you have. It's just there. I thought this was kind of interesting stuff. We talked about, I mentioned yesterday, about how many women are running Fortune 500 companies, and there's a bunch. Meg Whitman, Hewlett-Packard, Virginia Romedy at IBM, Patricia Wirtz at Archie Daniels Midland, Indra Nooyi at PepsiCo, Angela Bray at at WellPoint, Irene Rosenfeld, Kraft Foods, Ellen J. Kuhlman at DuPont, Carol M. Merowitz at the TJX Companies, Ursula M. Burns at Xerox, Cheryl S. McCoy at Avon, and that goes on. There's, you know, another bunch of them, half dozen or so. Anyway, but these are, you know, the highest position is Meg Whitman. Company rank is number 10 for Hewlett-Packard, but it's just really quite a pat on the back to these people. And, of course, now you have Marissa Mayer as the new CEO of Yahoo. So, pretty amazing. But I was talking to people about, I was just having a conversation with this whole thing. We were talking about glass ceilings and, you know, have we really broken the glass ceiling because we have this happening. But what about middle management? What about, you know, things that are happening below these, you know, standout CEOs? And I'm not sure that we're doing that well, really. Now, Walmart's finally picked up on an idea. Lobbying. Eh? Walmart puts more capital in the capital. So Walmart's finally realized, you know, the days of just do whatever you want to do, you know, having Amazon out there and competing with you. Now they need to have somebody that listens to them and tries to do things in their favor. So what they're saying is they're really putting some more money in the whole idea. Give you an idea, though. It's easy to see why Walmart is determined to force online merchants to charge sales tax. Last year, Seattle-based Amazon sales grew 41% to $48.1 billion. Bentonville, Arkansas-based Walmart increased U.S. sales at its namesake stores 1.5%, so it was from 41% to 1.5%, but their total take was $264 billion as opposed to the $48 billion. So it's not like they're doing bad, but they just want to do better. Doesn't everybody want to do better? I think everybody wants to do better, you know? I want to do better. And we've learned that a lot of people are willing to do just about anything, be it honest, dishonest, or just absolutely pathetic to, you know, do better. And that's, we don't want that. That's not good. That stinks. That's no good. All right. I mentioned yesterday, I believe, that Google users get a virtual tour of Yosemite, so they have four different parks now that you can go on Google and do a street view: Yosemite, Death Valley, Redwood, and Joshua Tree. And it's really fun. And actually, you know what's happening, because this has just been announced. I think a couple of times I've gone on Google to try to do something in the last couple of days, and it said, well, we can't do this session right now. I think people are just overwhelming the system with it, but that's what they want. Okay, if they want. Okay. I guess there was a thing that the choreographer who did the Olympic ceremonies was a little bit Danny Boyle. He was a little bit miffed because they cut out a portion of the opening ceremonies that had to deal with sadness and unhappiness, and you know, they figured they didn't need it. So he said, I'm disappointed, said a choreographer and danced in the segment. I am really sad that I couldn't show the work in America, and that really upsets me because I don't think it's any more or less than the other pieces. It brings to mind the question that maybe it's too truthful. Okay, maybe so. It was called a hymn called Abide With Me, described as the ceremony's program as an honest expression of the fear of approaching death. We don't need that in the Olympics. The fear of approaching death. Help. Matt Damon had an interesting observation, and he talks about a sense of fury in the U.S. over banking scandals and financial inequality that neither Democrats nor Republicans are addressing. The star of the Bourne trilogy, known for speaking out about politics in the past, pointed to a Bruce Springsteen concert he attended several months ago. He said Springsteen sang a song from his new album titled, which criticizes the gap between haves and have-nots and the greed of Wall Street bankers. He says, if I had me a gun, I'd find the bastards and shoot them on sight. Now, when he says that, when he's saying that, the place roared, he said. I mean roared. Like 30,000 people involuntarily screamed their approval, and it was so alarming, Damon said. You think? Yeah, I think people get mad after a while. I think so. I believe they can. I believe there's an end to everything. Well, there's a point at which people say, that's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. There was a weird story out of San Francisco. It was actually, this was actually from... a Santa Cruz bus company in Mountain View. So here was the 45, the bus moving 45 to 50 miles an hour. I was taking passengers from a concert in Mountain View to Santa Cruz on Highway 17, the worst highway in the whole wide world to drive under any circumstance. Anyway, but apparently the door flung open and two people fell out. One was hurt and another one was run over by the bus, and so she was killed. They're trying to figure out if they assume the driver did not open the door, but there is an emergency thing that can let you open the door, and they wondered if, you know, people got into a tizzy and they were fighting, and that's, somebody hit the switch. Anyway, what a strange tale that is. So much for that concert ending. They got the 120, what is it called, 128 hours? Is that the name of the movie? 127, 128? Rescue teams are looking for a Southern California man who disappeared while hiking in a wilderness area outside of Fresno. Lawrence Lee and Bishop never returned from a hike Thursday in a rugged area of the Sierra National Forest. Bishop, who was from Santa Barbara County, was last reported seen about 2 p.m. on Thursday. So the question again is, you know, did he tell people where he's going, how he's going, the whole thing? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, I'm not surprised, I guess, but I certainly am disappointed. I certainly am. I was worse than that. I'm maybe appalled. Maybe I'm surprised. I'm not surprised, but I'm appalled. A Mississippi couple says the church they were planning to get married in turned them away because they're black. Charles and Tiandra Wilson say they had set the date and mailed invitations, but the day before their wedding, they say they got bad news from the pastor of the predominantly white First Baptist Church of Crystal Springs. Some church members complained about the black couple having a wedding there. Pastor Stan Weatherford performed the wedding at another church to avoid having controversy affect the church or the wedding. So that's the Christian spirit right there. You know what? We believe in loving our fellow man unless they're black. Right? It doesn't say anything in the Bible about them being black. Okay. Good job. These start off as small stories. Then this can stay a small story, which we hope it does, or this can turn into who knows what. But here's the outbreak of the rare and deadly Ebola virus has killed 14 people in Midwestern Uganda in the past week, the Ugandan government said on Saturday. So the question is, can they get this thing, can they nip it in the bud, as they say? Can they nip it in the bud? All right, other places in the world are just crazy, as we all know. And I have a story here we'll share. Now, this is one of these stories about, you know, where's the money going in Afghanistan? You know, I mean, we have billions of dollars that are unaccounted for. But then there's some things that you can account for and know that somebody's, you know, doing terrible things.
At an Afghan hospital funded with millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars. Now members of Congress here in Washington are hearing directly from the witnesses about this huge scandal. We want to warn you about some of the pictures you might be seeing.
Yeah,
they will be disturbing. Our Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr has this report.
I can see.
U.S. taxpayers spent more than $150 million in just 18 months here at the Kabul National Military Hospital, training Afghans to look after their wounded. Here is what that money bought.
If there are children watching, please have them turn away or ask to leave the room.
Wounded, starving Afghan patients.
They are exceptionally graphic.
Testifying before Congress, retired and still serving U.S. officers who say American generals knew but didn't want the bad news to get out. Congressman Jason Chaffetz quoted from testimony.
Colonel Carroza described the conditions as, quote, Auschwitz-like, end quote. Oftentimes, Afghan doctors and nurses would demand bribes in exchange for care. Those who could not afford to do so died in their hospital beds.
Surgeries with no painkillers and more.
The open vats of blood draining out of soldiers' wounds, the feet.
I think we played this before. I'm sorry, I apologize. I don't know why they don't take the old stuff down. But sometimes I don't know. I got caught in the act of being myself. But anyway, things in this hospital are not good. The graphic pictures they show you, though, that it doesn't mean. Unfortunately, they don't equate to bad care. They're bad wounds. But I guess they're saying there's bad care. So there you go. I once had to have stitches. I had to have, I think, how many was it? I think it was 11. 11 stitches. I'd have 11 stitches, and they had no painkiller. They had no Novocaine or anything. They just didn't have any. This was in Vietnam, by the way. This was the United States government taking care of me. And this was on a ship. So I was like, okay. So I actually did. This is what they had me do. They had me bite a belt, a web belt. And boy, did that hurt. But then the same doctor, who I thought was kind of masochistic anyway, I saw the same doctor in a situation that was terribly bad, get a laceration on his hand and sit there and sew his own hand up. So I figure if he doesn't care about his hand, what's he going to care about my foot? It's like, there's scary things going on out there. There's stuff you just don't know about. It's happening right around us all the time. Let's see what else I got to tell you about, because there's things that are important. Wait, I saw something. Oh, this was an interesting story here. Religious right set sights on Africa. There must be a reason for all this. But it has to do with anti-gay legislation and all, and having effects on that. Rick Warren, Pat Robertson, as well as Catholic and Mormon groups, are fanning the flames of the culture wars over homosexuality and abortion by backing prominent African campaigners and political leaders. Of course, the people in Africa have so many problems with AIDS from heterosexual sex that this point may be moot, but they're giving it the go anyway. And it says, middle class expected to double in size worldwide. Poverty across the planet will be virtually eliminated by 2030, with a rising middle class of some 2 billion more pushing for more rights, according to a study. You think? I don't know the what is this number? 2030. I'd be very surprised if poverty is eliminated by then, but okay. I haven't done any studies, so I don't know. The National Intelligence Council analyzes critical national security issues drawing from all U.S. intelligence agencies. The Unclassified Global Forecast, which is due out by the end of the year, tries to describe drivers of future behavior to help government agencies from the White House and the State Department plan future policy. See, we think we've got this pretty much figured out. On a negative side, predicted food demand will rise by 50% in the next 18 years, though global population will only rise from about 7.1 to 8.3 billion. Also, more people are expected to migrate to cities, he said. So that's the good, the bad, and the ugly all right there, all in one shot. Our final piece of music today, by the way, is actually Buck Owens of Bakersfield fame, is the first person I ever heard sing it, but Dr. John's going to sing. And it's one of my favorite titles of all time for a country music song. And it's called, How Come My Dog Don't Bark When You Come Around? I've always liked it. I thought, that's funny. That's funny. Now, when my next-door neighbor, who's a realtor, told me that, home prices are going way up in San Luis Obispo and demand is way up, it's like it came out of the blue for me as far as understanding. I was like, really? It is really? But I guess it is. Home sales and prices on the rise for sure. Compared with the same month last year, June's real estate market in 2012 looks rosy. A total of 331 homes were sold in San Luis Obispo during June, which included all new resale homes and condos, the whole shebang. But 331 homes. Last year, we didn't sell 331 homes the whole year. Anyway, so it's really quite amazing how things are happening in San Luis Obispo. San Luis Obispo is a hot real estate market for sure right now, and that's what's going on with that. We be hot, so that's kind of interesting right there, I think. Other things going on. I've known Frank Lanzone at KCBX for many, many years. I don't get to see Frank much anymore, but I've known of him and met with him and talked with him and enjoyed his company a lot. But anyway, so here's what's going on at KCBX. KCBX broadcast the supervisors' meetings, but now they're saying, well, because now they have their own internet site, they have their own website on the web. And because the cable TV is doing it, we really don't have any reason to continue to broadcast, the supervised meeting. So they're going to stop at the end of July, which was today. And then they decided, okay, well, we'll go ahead and wait till the end of the year. Now, here's the thing. I don't know enough about public radio to know. I actually have to tell you that. Because, they make a lot of their money by begging. So it says right here, there is also a financial component to this KCBX decision. The county has been paying $20,500 a year to broadcast on the station. The operations director said that airtime is worth twice as much. It's worth, at night on Tuesday, that airtime is worth twice as much to whom? That's what that's the question I would ask. Who is it worth twice as much to? Who wants to pay $40,000 for that airtime at night? I don't understand that at all. I'll be very honest with you. I don't get that. So that's that. I just don't get it. But all right. So anyway, but the Board of Supes. I wish I was. If I had a night show, I'd say here. I'll do it. $20,000. I'll take it. I would turn none away. I said, okay, I'm willing. I'm really willing, able. All right. Here's more gun things was in the other thing there. I wasn't fully apprised of this, and you may not have been either. So here's the thing that I find fascinating, you know, with the European Union, with the euro, with what's going on over in Europe. Germany is a cash country. They don't have mortgages. They rent and save their money. They don't have credit cards to speak of. They pay cash for everything. And this a frugality that's just part of the national psyche is to be that frugal. And so, you know, they're having trouble, you know, putting up with the rest of the what's going on in Europe, to say the least. German aversion to debt also relates to credit card use. Only 36% of Germans over age 15 even possess a card, compared to 62% in the U.S. Around the world, Merkel has been derided. This, of course, their head. Merkel has been derided as intransigent in her approach to the crisis, demanding budget cuts and austerity from EU members. But her hardline stand plays well among the people who elected her. That means measures that some politicians and economists believe offer a way out of the crisis are considered unacceptable here. Yeah. So we can do it, you can do it, is what they're saying. And the other people are saying, we can't do it. So they're like, well, you should do it. And they're like, yeah, but we can't do it. So, okay. Now, here I tell you about Yosemite and these other state parks, and you can go on Google and see all that stuff. After being caught spying on people across Europe and Australia with its Wi-Fi slurping street view cars, Google has told angry regulators it would delete the ill-gotten data. Google broke its promise. Britain's Information Commissioner's Office received a letter from Google in which the company admits it kept a small portion of the electronic information it intends to dump. The ICO said in a statement that Google Incorporated agreed to delete all that data nearly 2 years ago, and its failure to do so is cause for concern. I don't know what it involves. They're not saying. So obviously, we're going to guess that it's sensitive government stuff. I'm going to assume that. So because they're not saying what it is. And so that would probably mean military facilities, things like that, because, you know, there's a big thing with the U.S. Although I'm still surprised if you go to many of the major ports, you know, of course, Google's not real time. So in that way, it doesn't matter. But I noticed with U.S. ports where Navy ships are stationed, they, you know, there's a lot of Google shots that have, you know, Navy ships there. But there is one thing that I have to tell you. They obliterate. I don't know why this matters, but, you know, I guess for counterintelligence purposes, whatever, they do obliterate the numbers on aircraft carrier decks, because aircraft carrier decks always have the number in the bow, you know, on the flight deck itself. So they fuzz out those numbers. U.S. economy had a 1.5% growth in the second quarter. Growth was curbed as consumers limited their spending as business investments slowed in the face of a global slowdown. So it's not what we had hoped for sure. You can bet it's not what the Obama administration hoped for sure, but it is what it is, and that's all that it is.
Oh, yeah.
Dodgers tomorrow during this time, so we'll get together on Thursday at noon o'clock. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet.
Never met my wife, you ain't never seen her before. Say you ain't been hanging around my crib. Well, here's something I wanna know. I wanna know what in the world is going down. How come my dog don't bark when you come around? I got the baddest dog, he'll bite anybody. He bit my little brother, took a chunk out of my old sweet little mother. He bit the mailman, he sees him every day. Takes one look at you, he wanna jump up and play. Now I ain't got a clue as to what you putting down, but how come my dog don't bark when you come around? My dog is dangerous, try to set people straight. Even bought a bad dog sign and hung it on the gate. Here you come tripping about a quarter to nine, full of that night train wine, trying to slide past the sign. My dog's there nodding off, ain't paying you no mind. That's my dog. When I come home, he don't sleep that sound. How come my dog don't bark when you come around? I still don't like it, I don't dig it one damn bit. Where you and my dog so tight, something don't fit. Now I slip through the alley, I call my dog. Say, get up off your rusty dusty. Move a little faster to your old master, your coyote you. He took one look at me, he growled and he ran straight to you. Now somebody's been confusing my poor hound. Now I wanna know what's going down. How come my dog don't bark when you come around? Maybe I better call up Jacoby and Myers, and you can take the Fifth Amendment, that is. You better stand up for your rights, 'cause you might not be standing too long. I'm gonna stop all this confusion. I'm gonna buy that hound, shoot that dog down. Then I'm gonna get busy mutilating, strangling, operating, and cremating my old lady down at the cremation station. Then I'm gonna torch that tooth and come right on